Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory. Welcome to today's worship service out here, outdoor worship in all of God's glory. Last year, I know there were some complaints. Oh, it's so hot in the sun. There's probably some complaints. I haven't heard them yet. Oh, it's a little bit chilly this morning. It's great to be able to gather together, whether it's blazing heat or freezing temperatures, to gather together to glorify God and to worship God. That is what is most important. As we gather together today, many different things continue to go on in the life of the church. I invite you to continue to keep your session in prayer as they will be meeting tomorrow night, Monday night. So keep them in your prayers. Also, we've got some other meetings this week. Take note of in the calendar there, Building and Grounds, AV Task Force, Serving Team are all meeting this week. So today is Trinity Sunday on the church calendar. Trinity Sunday is a Sunday after Pentecost. It's sort of, in a sense, I like to say that once we've experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a new way, we need to remind ourselves, what is it all about with the Trinity? That it's not just God Almighty, the Creator. It's not just God Jesus. It's not just the Holy Spirit. What is this Trinity that we confess, that we speak of? So that is the focus of today's service, is the Holy Trinity. Today is also Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers. We remember all those who aren't able to be fathers. And every Father's Day, I'm reminded of a time when I was doing young life ministry after club one night. A couple of the youth came up to me and really laid it on the line that, you know, we don't really appreciate the fact that you're always talking about Father God. Our Father God, and in the Lord's Prayer, Father. And one of them talked to me about all the abuse that she had encountered in her life from her father. And the young man explained the fact that his father had abandoned him and his mom and siblings, and praying to Father just didn't work. We had a lengthy conversation, coming to find other ways for me as a leader to be able to pray and to help them be connected to God, but also for them to understand that all human fathers, myself now included, were sinful, some more so than others. But when we pray to God, our Father, the perfect Father, the perfect Mother, the perfect Parent, that is the image that we need to have. And for those two youth, they experienced in the weeks that unfolded after that a deeper sense of the fact that just because their biological fathers were not good in many aspects, they had a heavenly Father that was perfect, that loved them as they were, that loved them and forgave them. And they began to understand that relationship in a deeper way. May we understand the Trinity in a deeper way today as we worship together. Let us open our hearts to the Spirit's leading as the bell is tolled.
Would you please rise, if you're able, to join me in the responsive call to worship? From the very whisper of creation, God poured forth love. Praise be to God for the blessings of God's love. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus as a revelation of his own, of God's own self. Praise be to Jesus for the many ways in which he revealed God to us. When we thought all hope was lost, God offered the Holy Spirit to guide and heal us. Praise be to the Holy Spirit for guidance and inspiration. For the Trinity of understanding, we sing praise. Blessings, honor, power, and majesty to God forevermore. Amen. Spirit of wisdom and hope, we witness your glory in the heavens and hear your call to us. We are sometimes overwhelmed by the thought of your compassionate care. Open our hearts this day to hear and respond in joy to your call, that we may serve you faithfully all our days. Amen. We are a people born of water and spirit. We have made promises to be Christ's faithful disciples and to show his love to our life's end. Although we fail to fulfill those baptismal vows, God's faithful love endures forever. Confident of God's grace, let us confess our sins and the sin of this world. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have ignored your commandments, stray from your way, and follow other gods. Have mercy on us. Let us take a few moments to offer our silent confessions. Forgive us, unite us, and make us whole. Forgive our sin and raise us to new life. Forgive us that we may serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand, and we can rejoice in the hope of sharing the glory of God. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Our assurance rests in the triune God who grants us new life. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hear these instructions from the Colossians 3:13. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. The peace of Christ be with you. Please take a few moments to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Our reading from the psalm is read responsively. This is Psalm 8 from the Common English Bible. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. You made your glory higher than the heaven. From the mouths of nursing babies, you have laid a strong foundation because of your foes, in order to stop vengeful armies. When I look up at your skies, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to them? You've made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them rule over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet, all sheep, all cattle, the wild animals too, the birds in the sky, the fish in the ocean, everything that travels the pathways of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. Our first scripture reading today is Romans 5:1-5 from the Common English Bible. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Our gospel reading today, prescribed to us by the Revised Common Lectionary, is from John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. In this farewell discourse on the night before Jesus was jailed, handed over, crucified. I have much more to say to you, Jesus spoke to his disciples, but you can't handle it now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He won't speak on his own, but will say whatever he hears and will proclaim to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and proclaim it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That's why I said that the Spirit takes what is mine and will proclaim it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jennifer to come up and children to come forward.
So, yep, I'm on. Okay. So if you could come up. Awesome. So, oh my goodness. Got a little wind blown hair here. Good morning. So did you know that I have a brother? Did you know that? Maybe not. So my brother, you have a sister, right? And you have a brother, right? So I have a brother. And so my brother usually... then you could say that I am a sister. So I have lots of names, but one of my names is be sister. I have a brother, and I am a sister. Did you know I have two boys? Yeah, I do. I have two kids. They're big kids now, but I have two kids. And so they call me, do they call me sister? They call me mom. So I'm a mother. So I'm a mother, and I'm a sister. Did you know that I have a mom? Yes. You did know that? Oh, well, she's here. Yeah, everybody's got a mom. So I have a mom. So if I have a mom, that means my word for her, what would you call me if I have a mom? I'm her daughter. Yes. So I'm a mother, a sister, and a daughter. How can that be? I'm just me, right? I'm just me. Well, we talk about God that way too. We talk about God being God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we have three different words, but it's still God. Wow, that's really hard to understand. Did you know that's really hard for grown-ups to understand too? It is. It's really hard for us to understand. And you know why that is? Because God is so awesome, too awesome for us to just kind of understand so easily. There's always more that we can learn. Are there other things that have just three on them? When you were little, did you have a tricycle? Probably. And how many wheels did it have? One, two, three. But it was just a tricycle that all worked together. They all worked together to make the bike move, right? Well, so sometimes... people call me mom. Sometimes people call me daughter. Sometimes people call me sister. Right. And it's hard for us to understand how that could be all in one. But when we talk about God being all in one, we talk about God being the Father and God being the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we talk about the different things that God does. And it helps us to describe the different things God does with those different names. Just like when I'm taking care of my kids, they don't call me daughter. They call me mother, because that's the thing I do at that time. So there's different jobs that God does in different places. But the thing to remember is God is in heaven. God is in our hearts. And God is all around us all the time. And God loves you. Right? God loves you. And that's what we need to remember. So it's kind of a hard concept, this day we call Trinity Sunday. Trinity meaning the three, and unity meaning all together. So the three all together work together to love us, right? And care for us and have saved us. Let's take a little time and let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, we don't always understand all there is to know about you. We know that you have created us and saved us and you love us.
We know that we cannot fully understand how great and wonderful you are, but we thank you for showing us the many ways in which you are God as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Even though you are still one, you are all three. Help us to learn more about you and more about your love that you have for us, and help us to share that love with everyone that we meet. We ask that you this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather here to worship you, we ask that you would open our hearts, that your Spirit might speak to us afresh, that we might know of your love and your forgiveness, of how you've created us to be your people. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is Trinity Sunday. We believe in one triune God who exists as one being with three distinct, co-equal, co-eternal persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity cannot be understood as God shifting from one mode of being to another. God doesn't transform from one mode of being to another. This is a heresy of modalism, Sabellianism, from the early church, where some of the early church started trying to figure out, well, how do we understand these three aspects of God, these three people? And they began to view this one person as three distinct functioning relationships to humanity, as if somehow God would shift from one version to another. This is found in our modern world yet today many times, and we don't realize it when we begin viewing God primarily as creator, redeemer, sustainer, or sanctifier. These are all job descriptions. These are all ways that God is at work, but yet those don't designate the three persons in one being. the Trinitarian God that we worship exists as one being with three persons. Three distinct, yet co-equal, co-eternal. It's beyond our understanding. To grasp the fullness of the mystery of the Trinity is more or less impossible for us in this life with our human minds. But we need to try. We need to strive for it. And more importantly, we need to be aware of the ways in which that we start thinking of God in these different modes, and it breaks apart the power of the mystery of the Trinity. I find comfort when I hear Jesus' words as he's speaking to his disciples, saying, "It's impossible for you. You can't handle this now. But soon the Spirit is going to guide you." We have the Spirit. We can handle it. But handling it may not necessarily mean that we can understand it completely and articulate it with flawless clarity. As we embrace the biblical truths of our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, their interconnectedness, their interrelationship between one another, that is when we begin to experience the peace and the hope that we have. We can experience and embrace that peace and hope even in the midst of uncertainty and situations that appear to be hopeless, that appear to be dead ends, moments of death. In the fourth verse of Psalm 8, the question is posed, what are human beings? What is humanity? Now, this is not a question about our identity. Rather, this is a psalmist's way of stating our relationship to God and all of creation. What are human beings that we're created just a little less than God, a little less than divine beings, and yet entrusted with the care of all of creation? Psalm 8 gives us a framework of how to grasp this complicated, interconnected relationship of the triune God. God is God, we are not, is a starting point. And yet, God is at work and alive within us. We are not God, but we're created by God for the purpose of both praising God and caring for all of creation, all that God has created, including caring for all of humanity, all of humanity. Even some of the humanity that we may not really want to care for, we are called to care for them as God cares for us. This is our role. We are an intermediary, an intercessor, a liaison in between both receiving and giving. Receiving and giving both directions. It's being together in community. It's not something that we can do just as individuals, all alone, isolated. We live this out in community, a community that includes the triune God and all creation and all of humanity. It's amazing to me that the psalmist could wrap together these aspects of the Trinity before Acts 2 had taken place. The Holy Spirit was present at creation. God the Father was present at creation. Jesus, God's Son, was present at creation. All are at work in our lives. And in Romans 5, the Apostle Paul, he gives us an example of how we are to live out this interconnected Trinitarian life in community. He tells us that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now here, he's not simply stating a fact of the past that, yes, this has happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out into your hearts. You have it. Done. Over. Next. Now this is In the original Greek, it's in the perfect tense, which refers to a completed action in the past that has an impact on the present. This past action of God's love being poured out creates a current state for us that God's love is still being poured out and overflowing. Unfortunately, the authors of Revised Common Lectionary, for whatever reason, they made a decision to stop today's reading at verse 5. I'm not sure if they didn't want to get into some of that darker Lenten type of talk of Christ's death that comes in the verses following it, but it's only in reading that larger portion of the text that these first five verses gain their full power. Beginning in verse 6, Paul reframes the first five verses in light of this outpouring of God's love being done through Christ's death on the cross. Here he writes, "While we were still weak, at the right moment Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies with God, with one another, Christ died for us." So viewing these first five verses through this window of the cross, it produces peace with God and hope of God's glory in all situations, including situations that seem like dead end or death. He writes, "We even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope." See, we don't find this true peace and this true hope, eternal hope, from anywhere within ourselves. That's what the world would like to say. Dig deep, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can find that inner peace deep within you. You can find that eternal hope if you look deep enough into your own heart. That's a lie from the world. We don't find true peace or eternal hope even from being associated with any human agency or any human aspect of power. Simply saying, "Yes, I'm a member of the Presbyterian Church or any other denomination," or even the fact of saying, "Yes, I believe in the Christian faith," does not produce that true peace and the hope. In saying, "I'm an American citizen, part of a free country," doesn't in and of itself produce that. And in fact, Paul used words that were very common in the Roman Empire about the Pax Romana, the peace of the Roman Empire. And he used it here in this text in ways that he doesn't use anywhere else to kind of give a little poke at the Roman Empire and to say, "You're seeking peace, but you'll never attain it. The only origins, the only recipient of true peace and eternal hope is from the triune God." That can be lived out in many ways, including through the ways governments are formed, through the ways that denominations are structured, through the ways that we gather and interact together. But it needs to focus on God. While we were weak, while we were sinners, while we were enemies, the love of God was poured out into our hearts so that it might continue to overflow from our hearts to the world around us. This overflowing sacrificial love, that is what produces the hope of God's glory in all situations. This is good news for all people. This is good news, especially today. As we hear reports of increased attacks between various individuals, attacks between groups of people, attacks between various nation states, increased attacks between our own American political parties, attacks between Christian denominations, attacks between factions within denominations. We're to take pride in the problems that we do have. That pride is about boasting. It's a way of glorifying God in the midst of that, to say, yes, there are problems, but it's a boasting and a pride that isn't about our achievements. In a sense, it's being thankful that we can point to all this conflict, all these disagreements, this disunity in the world around us, and we can say, yes, there is good in the midst of that, because that should draw us away from ourselves and help us to focus on God. This boasting and pride, as Paul writes it, it's anticipatory. It's an expression of hope that is to come, hope in God's glory. Just as the psalmist began and ended the Psalm 8 with, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout all the earth. Everything comes from God. Everything returns to God. We are all but God's. We are to give glory to God in all that we do. Our lives are to bear witness to the hope of God's glory by the love of God overflowing to all those whom God places in our path. Whether we like them or not, we need to show God's unconditional love. May the actions of our everyday, ordinary moments of life provide glimpses of hope, little windows of witness for the world, that as a community, living together in unity with a heart of hope, we are able to glorify God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, coexisting, co-eternal, but one being. Although we are all individuals, may our hearts overflow with that love that God has poured into us to give hope to the world around us, that there is hope for one day being joined together in unity. May we strive in as much as we are able to live out that life of unity together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As part of our glorifying God and worshiping God, we give thanks to God. Many times it is hard to give thanks, and yet it shouldn't be. We should be able to develop that culture, that lifestyle of offering back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us, even to offer back ourselves. Invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes, our offerings. May we place ourselves in the plate to be transformed, to be filled to overflowing with God's love.
Lift to thy God, to order us.
Holy God, your love overflows in the gift of your Spirit. Bless these gifts that we offer, that they may spread your blessing in a world of hurt and need. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. As we turn to God in time of intercessory prayer, just reminded, say, I was preparing for today's service, that when we're faced with situations that feel like we need a miracle, when we're seeking a miracle, we're instructed throughout Scripture in various ways that instead of focusing primarily on that miracle, we're to give thanks to God, to glorify God. Sometimes that can be very hard, but yet 1 Thessalonians 5, we have a practical way of living out this Trinitarian heart of hope. Says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. With this in mind, let us offer our intercessory prayers to God, weaving the burdens of this life into that eternal tapestry of joy and thanksgiving in the majesty of the triune God. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather together today to worship you, to hear your word proclaimed, to be your body, we gather together with that deep mixture, the joys of so many celebrations of amazing positive events in our lives, and yet there's also deep pain. Pain for some of us in our own personal lives, for others, pain for people, your creator, those created in your image around the world who are in the midst of war-torn countries. We lift up to you those who are caught in these situations helpless. Lord, we ask that you give us wisdom to know what it is that we can do to make a difference. Remind us that one of the greatest things is to gather together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for those you have called to be leaders. We ask that you give the leaders of this world wisdom. We ask that you give us, in the various leadership roles that we are all in, wisdom in what we do. Lord, continue to guide us as a people gathered here, this First Presbyterian Church, that we might not only be able to gather together to worship you, to encourage one another, but to have an impact on this place in which you have planted us. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Help us to not take them for granted, but to be good stewards. Remind us of all of your creation around us. Help us to be caretakers of all of your creation. Lord, help us learn to sit and be present with those who are different from us. Help us not only seek to help them, but help us, Lord, to learn to understand from others as well. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see you in the people around us. And continue to join us together in unity. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for our sending As we go out into the world, taking the light of Christ with us, knowing the love of God is overflowing from within our hearts. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.